what is the real truth behind it? So, the half-truth. Well, God won't give you more than you can handle. When do we say this? Well, we say it when people are struggling, when there's adversity before us, right? And in some sense, that's encouraging. It's encouraging to have somebody come alongside you and say, I know things are rough, but you're tougher than this. You can handle this. You're strong. You can bear more than you can imagine. You can do this. This is sort of along the lines of that little story we grew up with, right? The little engine that could. You remember that one? Little switch engine, not used to carrying freight, and one day he's asked, can he carry this long line of freight cars up and over the mountain? Well, he's never done that before, but he figures he'll give it a try, and so he's going along, and he's not so sure, but he's encouraged, yes, you can, and so what does he do? He has this mantra, I think I can, right? And little by little, he makes his way up and up and up and struggles, but he gets all the way to the top and makes it over. Woo! I knew I could. In one sense, we're trying to encourage one another in the midst of crisis with a phrase like, God won't give you more than you can handle. We're trying to bolster our own tenacity and courage, and that's good. God has given us great strengths and abilities, and so certainly it's nice to encourage one another that way. You can do this. You're capable. You're qualified. You can do it. That's encouraging, absolutely. And we do that to our kids all the time, right? When they get a little discouraged on a project or a chore, try and bolster their courage. But it's a bigger deal when it is more than we can handle. Because let's be honest, there are plenty of moments in our lives when things are more than we can handle. Now, where did this phrase come from anyways? What's the biblical connection here? Well, it probably comes out of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10 has a verse that goes this way. Maybe you've heard this. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. This seems to be the root of this phrase in some ways. God won't give you more than you can handle. But if we look at the phrase for a minute, it doesn't say God won't give you more than you can handle. It talks about testing. Another word, different translation, temptations. And in fact, the preceding verses all from 1 Corinthians 10 are talking about temptation. Where is this letter? Who is it written to? The people of Corinth. If we know anything about Corinth, we know Corinth was, well, some might think of it as sort of the modern-day Las Vegas, right? Corinth was a wild and crazy city where all sorts of wild and crazy things happened that nobody was supposed to talk about, right? What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. You know the phrase, right? Yeah. That's where it came from. Vegas just stole that later. Yeah. It was sort of like that. It really was. If you were being way out there, people would say, whew, he's acting like a Corinthian. It's an ancient phrase. So all of that had to do with this young Christian community that's beginning to learn what is it to follow Jesus. And they're finding that the city they live in, the culture and the context of their place, has plenty of temptation to offer. It's easy for them to fall back into their old habits and ways. And Paul is warning and cautioning. And he harkens all the way back to the Exodus and the struggles of the Israelites in those days. He says, yes, there's temptation. No temptation has come upon you that other people haven't struggled with before. this is true. We all have these different temptations, things we struggle with. It's not unique to us. It's a human condition. And Paul says, so recognize, yep, everybody struggles with this. And God understands that. And in the midst of temptations, in the midst of testing, of trials, we'll provide a way out. Now, Hamilton, in his book, has a funny example about this, where he talks about his own temptations for food, and he's in the midst of a diet, and he's got a really sensible lunch, and he comes back to the office, and somebody walks along with a tray full of Dairy Queen bags. They've had some kind of lunch at the church, and he says, he looks at his lunch, and he knows he should be eating this, and he's trying to lose weight, but there's this Dairy Queen. He really loves Dairy Queen. And what's in the bag, he asks. And his point being, of course, temptation's always around us, and he could have stepped away, not even asked about it, but he asked. He looked. He wandered that way. Oh, and he gave in. It's human nature. It's part of our condition. But Paul's reminding us, no, wait. God will provide a way out. The struggle is, most of the time, we're not really looking for it, right? When the temptation shows, we easily find ourselves walking into it. So this passage is, it's not necessarily about the trials of life, the challenges, the crises, the sufferings we endure. It's specific to the issues of sin and temptation. And God will be there to provide a way to step out of it, to avoid it. So the passage itself isn't really dealing the greater truth and concern that God won't give us more than we can handle. Well, here's another issue with that phrase. It almost goes back to our first week. When we say God won't give you more than you can handle, that implies that whatever's happening to you, God has done what? Given it to you. That this is what God is up to. That God is providing you with these challenges as a way of testing your mettle somehow. But that's not accurate. That's not what God is up to. God doesn't toss upon us weight upon weight just to see how we hold up. We mentioned Puerto Rico this morning in our prayers. I imagine the phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle, would seem pretty hollow right now. If I were living in Puerto Rico, because Irma hit and devastated the island, right? And it is more than any one person can handle. Absolutely. It's not helpful to say. In fact, it's less than helpful. It's almost damaging, because it now puts God on the wrong side of the equation. So somehow God is causing these things to happen. Just to the point where you might break, but then God will back off. I don't think that's accurate. So let's not put God on the wrong side of the equation. Let's realize that there are things that happen to us because they happen. Because there is life and there's brokenness. There is sin, disease, war, famine. Some of this is systemic and large-scale sin as a culture and society, but some of it was just life. It happens. The bigger truth here this morning is the reality that, in fact, we will all be overcome. It's just reality. Whether you've been in that moment or not, we will all be overcome. Whether it's the diagnosis that comes next week, the job that gets pulled out from under you, the divorce that creeps up next year. These are massive crises. And of course, the biggest one is death. I've looked at it, I've examined it. We all die. There's no way to get around it. Ultimately, we are all overcome. That's the bigger truth. But take heart. The greatest truth behind that is the resurrection. That's why Jesus showed up. That's why Jesus is here in the first place, because yes, we are overcome by sin and death, but Jesus came to conquer that and did so as he went to the cross and then came forth from the grave. Jesus can handle it, but we are overcome. But the resurrection is the promise. In the end, God handles it. God handles it for us. Now, if we say God won't give you more than you can handle, it's not entirely true. In fact, it's sort of anti-biblical. In fact, God doesn't give all these awful things. What does God give? What does God provide? Well, the great Christian author and pastor, a man named Frederick Buechner, he says this. He said, look, God himself does not give answers. He gives himself. Simple as that. He doesn't give answers, but he gives himself. We hear it in different ways. In Matthew 28, Jesus is giving the great commission to his disciples right before he leaves. And what does he say? I will be with you to the very end of the age. Or in John chapter 16, in the world you face persecution, but take heart, take courage. I have conquered the world. See, in the end, God doesn't give us awful things, but God is with us in the midst of them. What does God give us? God gives us his presence. That's the real truth of the scriptures. God gives us his presence with us. Now, Hamilton, in the end of this chapter, he cites a poem from a woman who had great aspirations of being a teacher, and then several health issues struck her to the point where she had to have help to live day by day. She became a poet. She wrote this that I think is a poem helpful and fitting for today that helps us to understand who God is and what God gives and doesn't give. She writes, God hath not provided or promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. Grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. See, what God gives is his presence in the midst of the trials and tribulations, in the midst of the challenges and the crises, that we are not alone. But the hardest part in the midst of those challenges so often is to notice that, to notice God's presence. Because the chaos swirls and feels so overwhelming, it's easy to miss God. In our psalm this morning, it starts out with that phrase, our God is a very present help in trouble, right? At the end, it has this phrase, be still and know that I am God. And this phrase pops up through several of the psalms in different places throughout the scriptures. Because ultimately, if we know God is with us in the midst of the highs and the lows of life, then we can bear it. We can walk through it. I've sat alongside friends, parishioners in the midst of great crises. And they don't need glib cliches or empty promises. What they need and what they discover is God, God's presence in the midst of it all. They're not abandoned. So how do we notice that? Psalm says, be still and know. And so I wanted to give you a practical takeaway today, something that I think we can practice day in and day out, so that when the crisis comes, when it seems we are overwhelmed, we can use this habit, this practice, and it will help us to notice God's presence. We do it every Sunday as we begin our prayers of the people, our breath prayer. And to remind us, breath prayer is an ancient practice. It's very simple. It's the idea of a phrase that you can say within a breath in and a breath out. That if you practice it often enough, it could become so ingrained in our mind, it would be, as we breathe, it would be happening. To pray without ceasing, Paul writes. And so, here's the phrase this morning, I think, to try for our breath prayer. You are here, and it is enough. As a way of stilling ourselves and paying attention to God's presence in the midst of the ordinary and the everyday and the extraordinary and the chaotic. And so it's very simple. Again, the first phrase, as you breathe in, hold the breath for a moment. And the second phrase, as you breathe out, and you can voice it or just say it in your mind. But I want to take about 30 seconds this morning to practice. Because really, honestly, I think if we could come to this sort of prayer in the midst of the chaos, we could be still and know this: God is with us. It will be enough. And so as you breathe in, let's take a moment. You are here. As you breathe out, it is enough. You are here. It is enough. You are here. It is enough. Lord, we are grateful this day that indeed we can take confidence. You are here, and it is enough. It is enough to be in your presence and to know your comfort and your hope, that you surround us with your love and your mercy. Your compassion is never ending. Lord, this week, help us to practice this simple prayer of presence. To know you are with us. We ask in Jesus' name.